Father, I thank you for what you've put on Esther's heart for this morning. Lord, I thank you that today is a new day. I thank you for the opportunity that we have to declare that you are good, that you are God, and to hear about some of your goodness. I pray for Esther as she shares now. Holy Spirit, that you'd fill her, you'd speak through her. She'd be a conduit, an instrument of your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. That's all working at the back. Can you hear? Good morning, everyone. It's nice to see you and to see lots of visitors as well. You're very welcome here at Farnham Vineyard. I was reminded, I think God reminded me of this story. I was reminded of a story of when I was quite young and I was in a supermarket that was then called Gateway. Do you remember Gateway? And I was in the cleaning aisle, losing the will to live, with my father. And life and hope was a distant memory. And I just grabbed my father's legs and proceeded to force my head between his knees. And as I slowly looked up, I was looking into the eyes of a very awkward gentleman who was not my father. And I just held the position, as you would. And I looked across and I could see my dad with a smile on his face, just waiting. He was waiting for me to realize. And he knew it was coming. He knew that moment, that horrific moment was going to come where I was going to look up. And I just had this really funny sense that God was wanting me to remember that, because I'm like that now, not forcing my head between the knees of strangers in the cleaning department, but I can be in the presence of my Father, my Heavenly Father, and be so unaware of what he's doing and what he's saying as I get distracted by other things. And when I realize, I'm like, did you see all of what just happened? And God's like, yep. And he's just watching and waiting. And so the nuts and bolts of this morning, this talk that I think God's put on my heart for us as a church, is awareness of his presence and the gift that his presence is to us, you know, post-resurrection, that we can access, that we can be in his presence, is such a gift. And I want to unpack that a little bit this morning. My Latin is a little rusty of late, but the phrase coram Deo, don't correct me, don't want to know, it translates to in the presence of God. And as Christians, we are living in the presence of God, under the authority of God, to the honour and glory of God. So we are living in the presence of God, and that's really, really important for us to remember. Therefore, our lives should really be reflecting his majesty as much as possible. And it causes us to be thankful. If we're in the presence of God all the time, it causes us to be thankful in the midst of difficulties. Even if we're in our darkest hour today and you know that you're in the presence of God, we can trust that he is going to lead us, that he knows the path that is set before us, and he will not leave our side. Over the summer, and I think something that was so wonderful about the series My Soul Sings was just celebrating the gifts that God has given us, the pleasures that he's given us to enjoy, and knowing that we can find, that we can be in his presence whilst our hearts are alight on the top of a mountain, at the top of a hill, having cycled up it, on a paddle boat. Just his presence is all-consuming and it's everywhere. And I love the prayer that Guy prayed at the end of every service, which was, Father, make us more aware of your presence. That we would be more aware, that we wouldn't separate those pleasures, the times that we are just so happy with his presence. He's in it. He's given it to us to enjoy. Over the course of the summer, Guy and I have been having many discussions about the forthcoming year. We've had to do quite a lot of planning, as you'd expect. There are rotas and things that need to be put in place. And there were a few holes in the coming term that we couldn't get our heads around. There was further detail, there was further planning, but with September closely, I know we're in September, but with September closely approaching, that sense of urgency was increasing. And this week I wanted to get up before the children because I really wanted just to seek God on a few issues that I thought were important. And I thought, this is a really good prayer to pray. Father God, I'm getting up early out of bed. Give me wisdom. And as I walked down the stairs, he said to me, I don't want to give you wisdom today. I want to tell you that I love you. I was like, really? So then I tried like negotiating with God. I was like, okay, if I take the love on Friday morning, can I have the wisdom today? Because the clock's ticking. I was like, no, I just need to tell you that I love you. So that was nice. And I spent the following hour, it was amazing. I spent the following hour listening as God just put the spotlight on the state of my heart, where I was at. But more importantly, he started to speak to me about the purpose of my life for this season, for the next year. And that was amazing. And there was so much joy that he poured into that hour as I began to see the bigger picture. And I just became really thankful and really happy, you know, warm, fuzzy love. So you can imagine my surprise when he then says, I want you to read Leviticus 3. Now, knowing that Leviticus is a breakdown of Old Testament law, specifically looking at sacrifice and offering, I did double check with God that he wanted me to read Leviticus, and it wasn't Luke or another book in the Bible, but it was Leviticus 3. So Leviticus, I'm not going to give you an in-depth Bible study on Leviticus today, unfortunately, but there are five main offerings that are unpacked. These offerings are the burnt offering that indicates entire surrender, the grain offering or the food offering that indicates the living sacrifice, then there's the peace offering, also known as the fellowship offering, that indicates our communion with God. The sin offering, as you would expect, that indicates the payment for our sinful nature. And finally, there's the guilt offering, which indicates forgiveness of committed sin. Now, God was loving me that day, and so he decided to put the attention and the focus on Leviticus 3, which is a breakdown of the peace offering, which indicates our fellowship and communion with God. And I suddenly realized as I started reading Leviticus 3 of the freedom that we have in our faith today. The peace offering, I just want to tell you, there were three instances and three instances only when you would offer a peace offering. The first is for thanksgiving. That doesn't need too much explanation. The second is to fulfill a special vow. And an example of this is with Hannah, who was desperate to have a son. In the Old Testament, we can read about Hannah and her story in Samuel. And she cries out to God in a prayer, and she's like, Lord, if you would only give me a son, I'll give him back to you for the rest of his days. Sure enough, not long after she uttered that prayer, God blessed her with a son. And to honor that vow as part of the peace offering, she takes her son Samuel, and she just dedicates him back to the Lord for the rest of his days. So that's number two. The third reason why you would give a peace offering is a free will offering. Just a spontaneous act of praise for God's unsought or unexpected generosity. Throughout the Old Testament, this spontaneous offering and this expression of gratitude that was shown as a peace offering to God was done in both the good times, like with Hannah, she was just so overjoyed, and she wanted to honor God, so she took Samuel back. And also the bad times when the Israelites were at Bethel, they didn't know what was going to come, but they gave God a peace offering as an act of faith. They knew that they could trust God, and so they gave this peace offering because they were looking ahead to a time of wholeness. And they were looking ahead, and they were thanking God for what he was yet able to do. So what would a peace offering have looked like? What would we have done? Well, humour me for a moment. If we were living in Old Testament times and we were going to make a peace offering, we would present before the Lord an animal without defect. We would lay our hand on the head of the offering and we would slaughter it at the entrance to the tent of meeting. Then Aaron's sons, the priests, they would splash the blood against the sides of the altar. And from the fellowship offering, we would then bring a food offering to the Lord. The internal organs and all the fat that is connected to them, both the kidneys with the fat on them near the loins, and the long lobe of the liver, which will be later removed with the kidneys. And then Aaron's sons will burn it on the altar on top of the burnt offering that is lying on the burning wood. That's what we would have done in order to say, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We have so much freedom. And I think the wonderful thing about that moment when I was praying in the week, in the morning, is that God was drawing my focus back to Jesus. He was wanting to glorify Jesus and everything that he represents in my life. And the outworking, when we love God, the outworking is that we love each other. When we're at peace with God, the outworking is that we are at peace with each other, or at the very least, we are actively working towards peaceful relationships. And the unique thing about the peace offering is that it's the only one, it's the only offering out of the five where the giver gets to take some of the meat back home. The other four offerings, it's all consumed on the altar and it's given to God, or in some cases, the priests get to benefit from some of that meat. But the peace offering is the only offering in which the giver gets to take it home. And I love that that's God's heart, that we would come and we would come into a place where we would share gratitude and thankfulness with God. And then he says, go, take it back to your friends and family and show them what thankfulness looks like. And knowing this, the story of the prodigal son takes on a more poignant significance as our attention now focuses on the table. I want you to picture the scene in the story of the prodigal son where the father, the prodigal, and the older brother are together. And the focus is the table. The fattened calf that was sacrificed, that would have already undergone the peace offering. The father would have taken this calf, this big fat calf, to the altar, and he would have spent time with God. And I think we lose that significance when we've read it in the past. He was communing with God. He was thanking God for his faithfulness in bringing his son back to him. He would have had this moment, and then God, enjoying this praise and this thankful attitude, then says, go, take the food back. Go back and have a party. The table for the father, it represented unity. It was the moment he was going to sit with both his sons, the first time in a long while. He must have had so many hopes for that table, for that moment. For the prodigal son, that table represented something completely different. He wasn't just focusing on the food as much as I think he couldn't wait to tuck in. But that table now represented acceptance. He wasn't rejected like he feared. He was accepted to the table. It meant wholeness and unity. It meant forgiveness. It meant hope. It meant abundant and outrageous generosity. We know this because the fattened calf was sacrificed for him. He was enjoying this prize animal. The older brother, meanwhile, he had been serving the father faithfully, and he didn't even get a goat. So we know how elaborate this meal became. And for the older brother, the table represented huge injustice. It was his Achilles heel. For the father, the table was grace. It was a table of grace. He was hosting grace. For the prodigal, it was acceptance. For the older brother, it was his Achilles heel. And he couldn't partake in that meal, and he walks away from the table of grace. And we've all sinned, all of us. We all fall short. We mess up all the time, and we are all in need of a saviour. Nothing that we have today, none of the good bits, are without Jesus. And the moment that we confess, the moment we profess that Jesus is Lord, this is what was given to us instantly. We became redeemed, reconciled, forgiven, free from the law, hallelujah, children of God, acceptable to God. that even in our brokenness, in our failings, we're still acceptable to him. We were justified, delivered from the power of darkness, partakers of a royal priesthood and heavenly citizens. That was the moment, the second that we professed. We did nothing. We didn't earn any of that. It was given to us. And if that doesn't cause a little tiny bit of thanksgiving to rise up within you, then I'd really love to spend some time this week talking to you and hearing your story, and maybe we might get an opportunity to pray. If, however, it does, then the outworking of our thankfulness is to give our hearts once again back to God, to give our lives back to him freely, and to say, do with it as you will. It's what we were singing earlier, and it's a brave prayer. But we can trust that the one who calls us his son and his daughter is good, and he only works good things through us. And then when we've done that, we're to go back. We're to go back to friends and family, and we're to show and to share them what thankfulness and gratitude looks like. In Ephesians, Paul sums this up so well. I want to read you from Ephesians 2, 13 through to 18. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So it's the blood of Christ that was shed. It's no longer the fattened calf, the animal. For he himself is our peace. He's our peace offering. Who has made the two groups, Jews and Gentiles, one, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law, along with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who are far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. I really believe that God wants us to become increasingly more aware of his presence and more aware of the gift that is, that we can access him whenever and wherever we want. And this morning we consider another table. We're going to be sharing communion as a family. Let's not push it. And the Father is the host. Father God is the host. And some of us this morning, we are like the prodigal, and we want to run towards this table, and we want to repent, and we want to receive. And we want to receive the grace that this table represents. And the Father is waiting. He's waiting for the prodigal, and he's waiting for the older brother to sit together to share in this meal. And some of you, you might be feeling like the older brother. You might find it so offensive that sinners in this room would come and share in communion and receive grace. But this is for you. And there's going to be an opportunity before we take just to speak to God about that, what the state of your heart looks like, because he longs for the older brother and the prodigal to return to the table. And then we are to go. We're to go and we are to host tables of grace in our homes. We're to show people what that looks like. And I believe that as we finish off in this room together as a family, that there might be invitations that you're penning in your head. It might be a text message to somebody. It might be a letter that you need to write. But there's a response, isn't there? There's something physical. It looks like something. Knowing the presence of God looks, it translates as something physical in our lives. And it's our joy to be able to, in the next few weeks, show you what that's going to look like over this term as we focus very much on the dinner table and releasing opportunities for us to be eating together with our friends and family and extending thankfulness to those around us. So should we just take a minute? Should we just pray, invite the Holy Spirit just to come and consume our hearts and our thoughts now? Father God, we're ever so thankful to you for your son Jesus. Holy Spirit, would you make us more aware of Father God? of his love for us and his forgiveness. And as we present our hearts and our minds and our souls this morning, would you make us aware of sin, where we've hurt you, Father, and where we've hurt others. And we thank you that you are so quick to forgive us, and that we are free, that we're a free people. We're free. Thank you for your freedom. And as we share in this meal with you, Father, I pray that you would speak to each of us about extending the invitation of grace further. Show us what that looks like. Lay people and names on our hearts, that we would become a transforming town. In Jesus' name, amen.